Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Nerd Speak. I'm Adam Koplik, joined by Ajay Patel. Today is March 4th. It is episode 5.5, our fifth midweek episode. We've been having some good episodes out there. Make sure you listen to anything we've released so far. Good talk with Max Greenfield this week on Monday's episode. Next week, I think we're going to have a Giants free agency preview, so be on the lookout for that. But today is a Q&A, and we got a few questions on the Twitterverse. Make sure you follow us at NerdSpeakPod. Obviously, I think that as we're able to grow the podcast a bit, we'll be able to get more people on the Q&A. Obviously, we get more questions out there. But in the meantime, first question is actually from Ajay. And it's to me.
Wow.
And it's asking me if I'm a Geese supporter. At first I thought he was talking about like Adam Gase.
Personally, no. Geese.
Just Geese. Geese. No.
All right. Good to hear.
Not really. They seem full of themselves. They seem, you know, just that they think they're all that. You know, they think they're not shit. I'm just not. No, I'm anti-Geese. What about, are you a Geese supporter?
I'm quite anti-Geese. They just kind of seem like they take up space to me and don't really contribute anything to modern society.
Is there a reason? Like, did you have a traumatic?
I really don't know. I think I, like, a couple months ago, I put out, like, a poll on Twitter. Just like, do you like Geese? And I think, like, 95% of people said no or something.
It's, you know, it's a movement. It's an anti-Goose movement. Is there a difference between a goose and a duck?
There definitely is, or else they just be called one thing, right?
Probably. Or is it like, you know, chicken and a hen? They're the same thing. There's a hen's just a name for like a female chicken.
Or male. I feel like there's like a good tool. It's called like Google. I think that could help maybe. I don't feel like doing it, but like.
I don't think Google's going to last, honestly. It's like it's on the tap.
Dude, what's going to take over Google?
Huh?
What's going to take over Google? Or is like it's just going to like fade out on its own?
Bing. Bing's on the come up. All right, here we go. Geese are generally larger than ducks. They have longer neck, more elongated body, and longer legs compared to ducks.
So it's a slender duck.
It thinks it's better than ducks.
Yeah.
It's like the Manute Bowl of ducks. And, man.
That's actually quite accurate, yeah.
Who do these geese think that they are? That is absolutely horrible to see, man. Sad.
Sad.
I just realized I have to.
Anyways, I think we got the most important question out of the way.
Oh, I absolutely think that. I just realized that my microphone pulled out.
Of course. So our second question from Diego on Twitter. Sports.
Definitely. Sorry, my microphone just changed. But
sorry.
Definitely sports. I would absolutely say sports.
I agree. I think sports are sports.
See, I wouldn't go as far as to say that. I'm a bit less on sports as you are.
Okay.
But probably like a 4 out of 10, 5 out of 10 sports.
What about like a Donald Trump all caps sports tweet? Would you do that?
I would be a big fan of that.
I think that's a little higher than like a 4 out of 10 then.
Yeah, I agree with that. Just sports with an exclamation point.
Yeah, exactly.
Just at like random points.
Sports.
If he got his Twitter back and just constantly didn't say anything except just randomly posted just one word, all caps with exclamation points, I would have notifications on for him.
Definitely.
That would be the Twitter follow. Him having his word of the day. Sports.
At the same time, I feel like he could have someone like not him, because I don't think he's smart enough to do this. But like you know, like when people do like a sequence of tweets and like the first letter adds up to mean like something of like each tweet.
Yeah,
I feel like someone could do something like that for him.
I love that. I will spend like a half hour scrolling to the bottom of it when they're like, you know, this is an entire song, like something like the entire song of like All Star.
Oh my god!
Smash Mouth, and I'd like just spend like 5 minutes getting to the bottom, and then put the song on. I was just reading the lyrics along.
I think the Jaguars did that right when they like released like their they said like their teal jerseys are becoming the home jerseys. They did like each letter. I like that.
I find it so funny. It's just like, because like sometimes people will spend like months on it. Like the first tweet of it, I think of this All-Star thing, like the first tweet was like 7 months ago, and they were just constantly like had in their draft first word and were just readying, making it the first word.
That's dedication right there.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to them. So those two questions I think are definitely the most thought-provoking for sure.
Yeah, sports, I think the next two are like pretty like
Yeah. So for Max Greenfield, our guest on Monday, fix the Kings. I had the plan, and it's my plan for every team that talked about on Monday, is just sign Kawhi Leonard this offseason. It's, you know, easy.
Easy fix.
Yeah, easy. So with the Kings, I think that they have – I'm surprised how bad they are.
It doesn't make sense. I think it's a combination, right? Like Max ranted about it a lot with Luke Walton. He just sucks at his job. Plus, like, they're like – bench veteran pieces don't really make much sense to me. They sign Hassan Whiteside, who like has no purpose playing basketball anymore. Corey Joseph somehow still in their rotation, which doesn't make sense to me. I don't think he's very good. I think he had like a negative, yeah, he's got like a negative 0.5 of VORP already, which is like pretty impressive to me. But yeah, I think like they have De'Aaron Fox, Hallie, Richaun Holmes, and like Bagley, I guess you can call him a building piece right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's only a couple years removed. He was, there's a reason he went number two. It was not the right pick in hindsight, but you know, I'm not gonna give up on him just because Luka and Trae Young are already just superstars.
And then their other guy, Buddy Hield, right? You got to talk about him. He seems. I think he's just like misused on that team.
I'm a really big fan of Hield. I think he could be a really good player. Did he just hit his 1,003 or is that?
Yeah, he's the quickest to like.
Is it 1,000 or 500 or
something?
The quickest to something. He did it before Steph.
Everyone else. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Their team. Definitely keep Fox, right? I think. Does Halliburton start? I don't think he does.
I doubt it.
Right? Because I think they start Buddy Hield. Oh, Harrison Barnes. We forgot to talk about him.
Yeah, Barnes is good.
Barnes has been really nice this year. I think we actually talked about it earlier, but like the Knicks, if they want to trade for him, I'd be quite into that. So my first step in fixing the Kings, trade Harrison Barnes to the Knicks.
This is also going to be how to fix the Knicks.
I believe realistically, though, I think Barnes could get a first round pick back from a team. Yeah. Whether it's like lottery protected or not, I don't know how exactly the people would value him. But he's definitely had like a bounce back year considering he was with Dallas after he was with Golden State, right? He got a big contract from them.
Yeah.
And he kind of like bounced around. He didn't really fit in well, I guess. But he's kind of like picked it back up now, had a little resurgence.
Yeah, the contract is a bit. Honestly, it's not even that bad. It's over the next 3 years, including this year, he'll be owed about $60 million, which is not that bad.
I don't think that's too bad for a guy shooting.
I mean, I think they can get similar to what the Knicks got from Marcus Morris. Maybe, more because he has two more years of control, but also less because it's at a pretty high number.
Yeah,
$20 million, $18 million in the next 2 years, but I think that could be a pretty solid. I think they should trade him.
Definitely.
I just don't think. I think that they, he's a good offensive player. This team, the way that to fix the Kings is they need to play some defense.
Yeah,
I mean, the offense has not been a problem this year at all, and it's an offensive league. But there comes a point where you need to stop the other team.
Definitely.
And I know Halliburton isn't a great defender. Fox is not a great defender. You know, they need some. They need to get a guy, even if it's a guy like Robert Covington, just someone who can be a stopgap on defense and will just stop.
Like Covington's like a good fit on like every team in the league. Yeah,
Covington's the kind of guy you get to win a championship, and I don't even think he's ever won a championship. But he's that kind of like Iguodala kind of thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I get that.
Draymond,
even just like talking about like Barnes right earlier, like he's got like a 63% true shooting this year. He's shooting 40 from three. Also, like Halliburton shooting like 43 from three. So like I definitely want to see like Halliburton, like, Fox play more together. I don't know, like, how – I haven't watched them, obviously, so, like, how they fit in with – just, like, looking at, like, numbers. They, like – I feel like that could be, like, a really good 1-2 duo. Especially, I'm pretty sure Halliburton's, like, decently tall, like, 6'5 or something.
Yeah.
Right? So you could, like, fit in at a 2-guard then. You maybe go, like, Buddy Hield at the 3 or something. Although, I do think they should trade Buddy Hield. Just get him out of there for whatever they can at this point.
Yeah, I think that – I think that you – like, Halliburton's probably going to be the steal of this draft. I mean, or Quickly. The two of them have obviously been the best value pick so far. Halliburton's been better than Quickly, but obviously the 15-point – the 15-spot difference between them. I mean, Quickly was the best find because everyone knew that Halliburton was still good. I mean, some people haven't gone top five. But I think that Halliburton – I think Fox is a going to be a superstar. I think Fox is just – I mean, he's just right – on that precipice of, like, about to just needs to take that one final step, and he's a superstar because I think he's already all-star caliber. But besides that, I think that it just, I mean, Luke Walt, I don't think that I always think that in every sport, I mean, more so like baseball more so than anything, I think that the manager makes marginal impact on the game.
Yeah.
I think a bad manager has a solid impact, but a good manager doesn't have that much impact. But even a bad manager, like, 5 wins maybe costs you.
Yeah, it's not the biggest difference.
But I think basketball, a coach doesn't have this wild difference. But look at the Knicks. That's coaching. You know, they got Quickly. That's the big difference between this year and last year. And Quickly has been good, but he hasn't been, you know, 18 and 18 good. Like, he's not the reason that they're doing this. Randall took the jump, and you have to give him some credit. You have to give Barrett some credit, but you also give a lot of credit to Thibodeau and that coaching staff, Kenny Payne, that's been able to develop them. And Luke Walton has just not been able to do that. And so they need a coach like Thibodeau with that team, I think, would be a beautiful fit.
Yeah.
Someone like Mike D'Antoni, I think, could D'Antoni's a fantastic – he's an offensive genius. I think he could definitely help take that offense. But that offense was already – I mean, they started the season on another level. And they were winning games when they were scoring an insane amount of points.
Yeah.
So I think that D'Antoni could be a solid fit, but I really would like to see them with a defensive-minded coach who will maybe be able to coach some of these great offensive talents to be good – to be adequate on the defensive side of the ball, because they can score 120 points a game. They have the talent. Even when they got blown up by the Knicks, they scored 120 points against a top five defense so far this year. But the problem is they can't be giving up 140 points, which they did to the Knicks. Like, so I think that they can be the kind of team, you know, if you're able to get them to the point where they're giving up 110 points a game, which is not good, but it's not atrocious, and it's something that, with how good that offensive talent is, I think could be great. So I definitely think a defensive-minded coach is the guy who needs to replace Walton. I mean, and if they get D'Antoni, you know, D'Antoni won a lot of games with those Rockets teams, not playing any defense, just winning every game like 145 to 143. Obviously, it didn't translate to the playoffs, but I think that – I just think it's defense. They just need to improve. They need to get some guys who can just play solid defense on – I mean, inside. Bagley has not been a good defender despite his size. You know, Hassan Whiteside's kind of the guy you used to think would be perfect for that team, but he has just ever since that – basically in one game. I mean, he had some solid years after that, but, like, he had that game where he's like, get my 2K rating up, and then they got his 2K rating up, and then kind of fell off a bit.
Yeah.
But, I think the Kings have some – the Kings have a young core that I really have a lot of faith in. Like, between Fox, who I think could be a superstar, Halliburton, I think, could be a star, even Bagley, I mean, he's probably not – he's probably gone past the idea of a star, but he can be a very, very, very good player. I mean, and maybe he can be a star. Like, you know, we've come to this point where we're judging because there are guys like Luka Doncic, Trae Young, Zion, Ja, who have become superstars after their rookie years or 2 years. you know, we kind of forget that guys don't hit their physical prime in the NBA until they're like 25 or 26.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look at Julius Randle. He's an all-star this year. And there aren't that many guys who make the jump Randle has this late in their career. But, you know, you have to give guys a little time to develop. You can't just, you know, give up on a guy. Even like Chris Webber took a little time to develop after Michigan.
Yep.
And also, we're in this new era, not new era, it's been like our entire lifetimes, this era, but of one and done guys, you know, they're entering the league, they're 19 years old, they struggle because they were in high school 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are, even like Jimmy Butler, I think I mentioned this on the pod with Max, but like Jimmy Butler spent 4 years at Marquette and still had to take a couple years to develop into a superstar, which is what he is. Like, you know, it takes time for these guys to develop. So I think Bagley, I wouldn't give up on him if I were them. But yeah, there's been a lot of the Kings. It's wild. I don't think the Kings have ever made it finals. I know they've never won one because I was looking at like the longest droughts because I know the Knicks are up there with like what Knicks is about to be 50 years.
Yeah.
But like the Kings have these last few years been pretty dreadful. I mean, we're Knicks fans right now. They haven't been able to draft at all.
Yeah, it's been a long time. The weird thing with like their drafting is I think since they took Isaiah Thomas, right, with the last pick in 2011, I think it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then since then, they've like, it's weird because they've drafted some decent guys. Like they got Fox, they got Halliburton. But then they had like a span from like, I think 2012 to 15. Their first round picks were Thomas Robinson, Ben McLemore, and Nick Stauskas. Yeah.
There's like three of the guys you think of when you're like, who really didn't pan out? Like,
right?
Thomas Robinson, man, I thought he was going to be good. Oh, Nick Stauskas.
And then even after that, right, you go to 2016, they took Marquise Chris. 17, they took Fox. 18, right, they took Bagley. They took Gary Trent, traded him immediately. And he's become a really solid player for the Blazers, right? I think he's going to get like a $18, $20 million contract this offseason, which is quite impressive for a second-round pick. And then 19, right, they just had a bunch of second-round picks. And then this year they took Tyrese. So it's like you were saying, right, they need someone that can bring in defense to the team, whether that's like through a player or a coach. I don't know what it would be. But yeah, it seems it's pretty dreadful right now. You definitely have like your solid pieces there to build around. And also like when you're talking about, right, how the expectations are really high. Like Tyrese is a guy that's like came in, produced right away, right? But then like us as like Knicks fan, we saw like RJ his first year, right? He was bad. Like it's fine to admit it, like he was bad.
Yeah.
And he's become great. Like
He's taken a big step this year, given how bad he was this year. He's not like an all-star right now.
Oh, right.
I mean, I'll give him like 80 overall in 2K.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it's just RJ is such like a Jimmy Butler type in that slasher. You know, he needs to develop his shot. He needs to develop the ability to finish inside. He needs to develop some more IQ. But, I mean, I don't know if you read Julius Randle's Player Tribune article today, but he was talking about how this whole team, you know, this whole team works their ass off, and Barrett's one of those guys. And you know, you gotta give guys time to develop. And Barrett took a big step this year, but there's no reason to think that he's gonna take another giant step next year. But it may just be baby steps until he's 25 years old, and all of a sudden you have like a guy you're looking at, and he's like, yeah, he's an all-star this year. Like, I'm not as high on his ceiling. I don't think he'll be Jimmy Butler. I don't think he'll be a guy who you can trust as your top two option on a great team. He's not going to win a championship as your top two option, but I think he's a fantastic third option. I think he's one of those guys you got to give time. Like LaMelo, another guy we're seeing that kind of has translated very easily. I think a lot of times, and it makes you think with Halliburton too, these guys who are really good passers.
Yeah.
Like passing is not really something that like your IQ goes up, but if you're already a smart basketball player who makes good passes, that's going to translate to the league. And that translates. And LaMelo, I mean, he's made some ridiculous passes. Halliburton's been a really efficient passer. Quickly's been a great passer. Like, you know, these guys who are good passing, that's a tool that you're pretty confident will translate to the modern league. But then someone like Barrett or Bagley, you know, they're more projects. And I mean, when you have a project, it's all about coaching in the end. You know, it's Giannis on a horrible coaching staff never becomes Giannis. Yeah. It just doesn't. Like, you know, you need guys to help mold that potential.
You mentioned like RJ, Jimmy Butler. Ironically, I think a guy like that would be great for the Kings, because you mentioned, right, they have two good passers in Halliburton and Fox. And like when we played them, right, you saw like Fox, I don't know if you remember, but like he made those couple passes where like he expected his guy to cut, right? And he passed it like straight out of bounds. So I feel like if you get someone, right, like a higher IQ type of player, maybe like a slasher type, that can actually like feed off of him instead of like trying to, because he was passing to Buddy Hield, right? And like Hield's not a slasher. He's a guy that shoots threes.
Yeah.
So, like, I think if you more build, get players that can complement, because you have two really good point guards, complement them. You have Holmes down low already. Bagley's still there, right? So you start building in those wing pieces. And I think slowly but surely, it's like, it's very tough in the West to, like, build a playoff contender at this point. But you got to start winning at some point. And I think, you know, building through the wings at this point would be the best option for them.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about, like, in the end, we're talking about this fix the Kings thing. Like, Robert Covington's not winning them a championship.
Yeah.
They got, like, this league, and it's the worst part of the NBA. It's the reason I think I like it the least out of the four major North American sports.
Yeah.
Is just winning a championship is not, I mean, it's hard, but it's not like in the other three sports, a solid team that squeaks into the playoffs has a chance to make a run, because it's more of a crapshoot. Like, maybe not a full crapshoot. Like football, you know, if the Giants had made the playoffs, you were pretty certain they were going to get booted in the first round. But, like, it's just basketball. It's like the Knicks could make the playoffs, but, like, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
You know, like, they're going to get run pretty quickly. Like, that's just kind of the thing that happens. And so we're trying to fix the Kings. The way to fix the Kings is that I think Fox is going to be a superstar, and that's what you need. You need superstars. And maybe Halliburton could turn into one. I don't think he will, but I think he'll be a really good role piece. And then you just try to sign every single free agent. And it's harder for the Kings than it is for other teams because it's Sacramento. But, you just try to entice someone to come to the Kings, and that's how you become an amazing basketball team, basically.
Right.
Moving on to our final question from Ryan Rudy of One Diamond Digest, my good friend. So he's a Chicago sports fan, and his questions, he said, Bulls and Blackhawks are both on the fringe of the playoffs without really being expected to be contenders. Which Chicago team is the next to clinch a playoff berth? Also a question of which of Cubs/White Sox clinch first, if both do. I actually do think that the Blackhawks will be the next to clinch a playoff berth, because I don't think the Bulls are going to make it. And if season ends today, the Blackhawks would be the number four, the fourth place team in the Central Division. I don't think that's a very good division. I don't think Nashville's very good. Detroit's horrible. Dallas has been not very good. I mean, Dallas could make that little run and get in, but I just don't think they will. Their point percentage is still under 500. And Chicago's been really good this year. Malcolm Subban's had a really good year in the net. But if they – so I think that they'll be the next team to get in. But if they don't get in and it becomes which of the Cubs/White Sox clinch first, it seems like – I mean, really all four of these teams in Chicago, not kind of the Bears, but – it seems like it's all these Chicago teams are kind of not very good, but in worse divisions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not as low on the White Sox as I've seen some people, but most of them definitely not as high as some people are.
Yeah.
I think they're a solid team, like a 90-win team. So I think that they'll get in. And I think the White Sox are the next to clinch, because I don't think the Cubs are winning that division. I think the Cardinals are, and if they don't win the division, they are not making the playoffs, because there will not be multiple playoff teams from the NL Central. So I think the White Sox are probably the next Chicago baseball team to clinch a playoff berth. As of right now, I have them in making the playoffs, but honestly, I would not be surprised if there's no Chicago playoff teams this year. Because I could see the Bulls not making it. I definitely could see the Blackhawks falling off in the last few games of the year. And the Cubs and White Sox are both, I think, in divisions where if they don't win the division, they are not making the playoffs. Because I think the NL Central is just gross. And I think the AL Central, I don't think that the second best team in the AL Central will have the record of the Rays, Blue Jays, Angels, Athletics, or Astros, whoever wins that division.
Yeah, it's actually an interesting question, because, like, the first thing, right, you mentioned, the first thing you think of with the White Sox and the Cubs is, like, their divisions aren't that good, right? Central, you have the White Sox, Indians, Twins, Royals, and Tigers aren't competing this year. I don't think the Indians have enough on offense to win that division this year. Jose Ramirez is still there, but, you know, they traded Lindor. They didn't really sign anyone to help their outfield problem. And their starting pitching is always, like, you know, it's really good. However, and then the Twins, on the other hand, right, they've always put out a good offense with Nelson Cruz. You have Kepler there. Kirilloff is up this year, I think. Donaldson, too. Their starting pitching after Jose Berrios and Maeda, it gets pretty iffy, right? You have Jay Happ at the four. Their bullpen has always been decent, I think. It's never been, like, amazing. And then the White Sox, they're an interesting team this year, right? A lot of young talent that we thought would be, like, really fun to watch. And then they go out and bring Tony La Russa in as their manager, which kind of, like, I don't know. It just contradicted, like, what that team was, like, built on to me so far. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if I had to pick one to clinch first, I'd say the White Sox, too. I don't think the Cubs – I still think either the Brewers or the Cardinals, like you said, win that division. Brewers actually, like, they signed JBJ today, right? Mm. And I saw, I think, Connor Kukron on Twitter. He brought this up. But they have a case to be, like, a top-five bullpen, if not, like, a top-three in the league this year, which Devin Williams and Josh
Hader. Hayden Williams is a ridiculous duo.
Yeah. And then – so I think I don't think the Cubs, right, they don't have any starting pitching besides Kyle Hendricks this year. KB, especially, they might trade a lot of the guys too. They're talking about trading Bryant. Even, like, I think Baez was brought up in, like, some trade discussions a while ago. Although it feels like we say this every couple years now. But yeah, so in the end, I think I take the White Sox to clinch first. I don't know anything about the Blackhawks. I don't do hockey like you do. I don't think the Bulls will make the playoffs.
Yeah, and, like, I think the Cubs, we do say that every year, it seems like, but I think this is the first year where you kind of have to mean it, because they've done it. I mean, they shipped off Darvish for nothing. They're obviously pinching pennies. And, you know, you have this there's a lot of guys in free agency. You know, you got Rizzo contract, Baez, and Bryant. And I think the Cubs can afford to bring them all back. They won't.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to trade Bryant by the deadline. I would be shocked if he's not somewhere else in August. But in terms of the other division, I agree with you. I think that the Central's a mess. I also don't think that it's bad enough. I think the Royals are going to be a solid team. That the second place team will. I don't think it'll be like, you know, 96 wins, 95 wins, and then the next team's like 78. I think the Cleveland and Kansas City will give those teams a run for their money. And the White Sox, they could be great this year, but they are, you know, they're relying on a lot of, you know, what ifs, you know. They need Luis Robert, who was great to start the season, and then the last month and a half really was bad.
Yep.
They need him to take another step. They need Eloy to take another step. They need Abreu to, you know, maintain what he did last year, which he won't. They need Lance Lynn to maintain what he did last year, which there's, you know, he's old, he may not. They need Keuchel to maintain what he did last year, which I really don't have that much confidence in.
Yeah.
I have a good amount of confidence that Giolito will have another really good year. I think he's very good. But on the whole, there's just a lot of question marks throughout that squad. I mean, Yasmani Grandal will be great, but I'm just not that high on them. And we'll see. But I do think they do end up winning that division and making the playoffs. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if Minnesota wins the division and there are no Chicago playoff teams this year. Yep. But I do have a good amount of faith in the Blackhawks to squeak in. They've had a really good start to the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's all the questions we have today. Any last words?
No, not really. I saw the two possible songs Drake might be dropping tomorrow. One might have a Travis and Weeknd feature on it, which would be quite nice.
And also, Anderson .Paak and Bruno Mars dropping
a song today.
What'd you say?
That is so hype. I'm not hating on Anderson .Paak and Bruno Mars. Don't worry.
I was going to say, dude, it is the, like, oh my God. I love Anderson .Paak so much.
He's so good.
It's nice that he's with Mars because, like, he's never gotten that much mainstream love. I mean, he had a couple, like, Bubbling was a big song, but I don't think that's his best song at all. Yeah. And, like, I think that with Bruno, because Bruno Mars is just, you know, like,
Bruno Mars,
he drops is, like, number one and amazing. Yep. I think that that's going to be such a sick I think he'll finally get some mainstream appeal. I want to make a bet right now that one's album of the year just because, one, I think that they're both awesome artists and they'll make something awesome together. But more than that, I just think that the Grammys would love that. Like, I just think that the Grammys always love Bruno Mars. So as long as this is the only thing he releases this year and Adele doesn't release anything, he's set. Like,
I think if you had some, like, impact metrics for music, I think Bruno Mars would be pretty high up there.
Bruno Mars is war, man. Oh my God.
Dude, like, expected it's over average or something. Like, wow.
Oh man. All right. Well, thank you everybody for joining us. We will be back on Monday, so keep an ear out for that. And this has been Nerd Speak. Bye bye.